A couple of weeks ago, one of the things I was preaching about, or have for a couple of weeks, is this idea of Paul seen through the lens of Acts. And in Acts chapter 16, one of the things that the Bible does that shines a light on Paul, particularly as it relates to Revelation. Some of you are aware of Acts 16. That's the chapter where Paul is in his second missionary journey, and by all practical means, he should turn south and go to the city of Ephesus. Ephesus is a very large city. It's the perfect place to start a church. There's trade routes, there's land routes, there's a large population, everything that you need in order to start a church. But he is told by the Spirit of God in a form of revelation not to go there. And at the same time, he's told not to go north or northeast into what we would know as Asia, but to actually travel over across the sea from Turkey into Greece to Macedonia. He sees this vision of this Macedonian man that's saying, come on over to us. And of course, that's what Paul did. And he actually preached the gospel in Greece and a number of different cities. And the rest we know through the book of Acts of how that took place in the lives of people and how churches were created. But it all had to deal with this level of revelation. Now, I realize that most of us, if I had to guess, maybe with the exception of me or maybe John or maybe some of, you know, Bible teachers, theologians, things like that, most of us don't walk around talking or using the word revelation. I mean, how many times have you used that particular word this week? Probably not often, if any. But we are very concerned about the will of God. What is the will of God for me, or what is the will of God for you? And so, although we don't use this word revelation in maybe our active vocabulary, similarly related is the same thought of what is the will of God for my life? Because that, to some degree, could be a form of revelation. And so what I want us to do this morning is I want to use the Romans passage, Romans 12, 1 and 2. So if you want to grab a Bible and turn to that, or if you want to turn your bulletin over, you can look at the text there. Because in a few moments, I want to show how that can be very helpful for when it comes to understanding the will of God. But before we jump into the text, I want you to think about the will of God on two different levels. On one level, I want you to think about the will of God, or what I, and this has been my terms, this has helped me understand the will of God and to teach or at least process in my own life, the will of God on what I would call the macro level, or the big picture, or the large level. What is the will of God for people, for creation, for all that is? And the Gospel of John, I would argue, is the best book in the New Testament to describe what the will of God is on this macro level. And there are a number of examples where John, the gospel writer, talked about this. John 6:39 is, I would argue, one of the best. And this is Jesus talking. So in John's gospel, Jesus said, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that has been given to me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all will see the Son and believe in him and may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day." There are other examples in the Gospel of John that describe this macro level of the will of God, and that is for all people, for everything that is, God's desire is for it to be whole. We call that redemption in the church. It's the whole purpose for Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, is that in Jesus, through Jesus, all can be made whole. And so when we talk about the will of God, at least on the big picture level, on the macro level, this is it. That all things be made whole. But when we move from the macro, which is what God desires for all things, when we move that into our own individual life, we move from the macro into the micro, and there, it's going to look a little different. Because it's also going to be dependent upon what your circumstance is in that particular time and in that particular place. So when we talk about the micro will of God, what the macro looks like in my own life, there, we need discernment. Now, in order for discernment, we have to then put ourselves in a right place to hear and to know. This is also multiple examples inside of the New Testament. The book of Acts is probably the best book in the New Testament, Acts chapter 10. Many of you are aware of this passage. Peter, he's sitting on a rooftop, and he's hungry, and he's waiting for lunch to be prepared, and he sees this vision three times of a sheet coming down and up and down and up, down and up, and inside the sheet are all these creepy crawlies that he was taught from day one not to touch or to eat or even to hold, and three times he hears this voice that says, kill and eat, kill and eat, kill and eat, and he doesn't do it. But he sees this level of revelation or has this level of a vision, and the way that gets processed in his own life on the micro level is he then goes to Cornelius' house and he preaches the gospel. But that was very specific to Peter at that particular time and at that particular place. You could fast forward a couple of chapters to Acts chapter 15. This is the time where the church is having its first major council because all these missionaries that have traveled out from Jerusalem, they're preaching the gospel. Some of them are doing it to Jewish communities, some to Gentile communities. And so they're trying to figure out how that macro level that God wants all to be redeemed, how that plays out in the micro level in their life. And so they pray, they talk about it. They end up debating and having conversations. And at the end of chapter 15, they come to a conclusion that says, we know what the macro level is. God wants all to be redeemed. So go and do this on the micro level this way. But they couldn't come to that conclusion without discernment. You could fast forward again in Acts chapter 21. This is where Paul receives a vision that he is to return to Jerusalem, knowing full well that if he does, he's going to be bound in chains. But he does. And so there's going to be times where the macro, God wants all to be redeemed. The way that gets parsed down into the micro and individual life, in order for us to receive that, to know it, to understand it, we have to be in a place for discernment. I was reminded about the need for discernment the other day. I don't know how it works in your household, but in our household, we have about maybe once every 2 or 3 weeks, we have a calendar meeting. Now, it's not where we have a calendar up on a board or anything like that, but between my calendar here at the church, social calendar, Brooke's calendar for her job, her social calendar, our social calendar for us as an individual family, inside the Green family, what's going on in the Green side of the house or the Reagan side of the house, and then all the other issues. It can get complicated. I would imagine the same as you. And y'all have, I've been with you now for 10 years, so I know you're fully aware of my administrative skills and how I'm so skilled at all these detailed things that go on around this place. Not even close. Everybody that works for the church knows that if they don't actually watch me put it either into my phone or on my computer or give it to Kathy, it does not make it into Shane's brain. And so Brooke is aware of that as well. So periodically, every few weeks, we go over our calendars. And in our house, we have an open plan, our kitchen and our den and some other, you know, just smaller areas. And she was in the den and I was in the kitchen and we were just talking about different dates. And some of these I was writing down. And then about midway through the conversation, I thought the conversation was over. I really did. And so I turned. You also know, some of you know, that on my left ear I have hearing loss. So when I didn't have my hearing aid in. So when I turned this way, Brooke was still talking. I didn't hear it. Yeah, I know it. You know where that is. Yeah, so thankfully, I have a beautiful wife. She's so loving. She was at the 9 o'clock, and so I have to tell you what I told them. She is great because she could have just said, Shane, you're a nut, but she didn't. She said, hey, did you hear what I was saying? And I was like, no, I thought we were finished. She goes, no, I'm talking to you, but when you turn, you can't hear me. I'd only turned 90 degrees and maybe walked 3 feet. So proximity-wise, I thought I was hearing. I just didn't think she was speaking. The same thing applies to when it comes to understanding the micro, how the will of God plays out in your life. And if you're not in a place of continual receptivity, you're going to miss it. The macro is easy. We just need to look to Jesus and see what God has done on the macro level. But the way that plays out into your life, that involves circumstances, that involves a particular place, maybe even a particular time, if you're not in a place to hear or to see, we'll miss it. That's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 is so important. What did John read for us? Because this is Paul talking about being in a place for us to hear. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what? What is the will of God? This past week, my family had an opportunity to travel to Greece, and we were some excursions, and we were with our guide, and our guide was constantly, everywhere we traveled, he was pointing out all these different places that were remnants of temples or places where people would go and to give offerings. And so what existed in the first century is that people had an altar for everything in the world. And so they would go down to that local altar, and they would give some type of gift in hopes that in doing that, then they would get some type of response. And it was a part of their national identity, just how they operated. And they would go and do it even if their heart wasn't in it. In essence, they were checking the box. And there are sometimes we do that. All under this idea that trying to be close to God, it really doesn't matter if our heart or mind is in it, because the passage in Romans chapter 12, the word picture that Paul describes when it comes to presenting a living sacrifice is that you don't just go and check the box. You give your full self to God. Heart and head. Incidentally, the major critique of all the prophets in the Old Testament is don't just check a box. And if discernment requires being in a right place at a right time in order to hear and discern the will of God, we can't just check a box. That's why we talk about disciplines as much as we do. Why you study, why you pray, why you meditate or reflect, why you worship. It's not that any one of them is magical. They just put you in a right disposition so that your head and your heart are cultivated so that then we can hear and discern God's will for our life. Because the way that macro gets parsed down into the micro, that might look a little different from one person to the next, depending on what's going on in their circumstances and in that particular time. But Paul is right. If we don't present ourselves as a living sacrifice, then we're going to miss what God wants to give. No different than me standing in my kitchen thinking that the conversation is over and turning and walking three steps to the right. You can't just check the box and know the will of God. Because sometimes it's going to be you're on a rooftop and you need to go to Cornelius' house. Another time it's going to be a group of other faithful people and you're trying to figure out what to do when all these new people are coming into the church. And then there might even be those unfortunate times that say, you walk this way, even if it ends in pain. But if you're not in the right place, with head and heart, you're never going to know. So when we talk about the will of God, there are going to be these times where we talk about it on the macro, the big picture, and that is God's desire in Jesus Christ for all to be whole. But the way that plays out in your life, sometimes that's going to involve the circumstances that you're living in a particular place and in a particular time. Steve Harper was one of the presidents of Asbury Seminary. John and I went to the Wilmore campus, which is up in Kentucky, but they started a dual campus in Orlando, and Steve Harper was the professor or the dean there, president for the longest time, and he wrote something in a book, Walking in the Light, and this is the way he described it. He said, praying to know the will of God is a step-by-step, little-by-little experience, which God is the giver and we are the receivers. It requires listening, putting yourself into the position of receptivity, and then taking the next few steps in relation to what you see and what you hear. If you want to know the will of God for your life, this is how you do it. Continually put yourself in a place where you can hear and where you can see. God longs to take the macro and put it into the micro. That's what He wants for each one of us. The rich issue is, do we really want to receive it? And if you do, then you borrow the words of Paul. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Which means we don't just check the box. And that is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world around you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So may it be for you, my friends. Let's pray. God, as we now move with our heads and our hearts into a time of receiving this gift of grace and mercy that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ, we're mindful of this gift. We want to come with open hearts to receive it. And we pray this in your name. Amen.